Hey, it's John Kamal. This is the Fairfield County Live and Local podcast powered by the Sono Collection. And this is actually an old episode. I recorded this episode back in June of 2019, back when on a totally different channel when this podcast was called the Black Rock Live and Local Podcast. The reason I wanted to move it over to this channel is, well, there's two reasons. The artist I interviewed, Goose, has gone on to become the biggest band in Connecticut. I can't think of anybody who's doing it bigger right now. They're touring nationally, and it was less than a month after this podcast was recorded that they really blew up. They played a set at the Peach Music Festival, and they've just been huge ever since. The second reason is because they, right now that we're in the COVID-19 era, have one of the more ingenious live stream ideas that I've ever seen. It's the Goose Bingo Tour. You can hear more about that on my interview with their manager, Matt Kalinske, which is also going to be an episode on this channel. But for right now, this is Goose. You're going to hear four live performances from them and, of course, an interview with me. I hope you enjoy it. It's John Kamal, 95.9 The Fox, Fairfield County, live and local.
Right now, and it's... I don't know. I'm just glad to have you guys here. How did the band get started? What was the genesis of the whole project?
It sort of started this band. Trevor and I were in another band started in like 2012 called Vesudo, and we did that for like a year and a half and sort of went our separate ways. And then I was living out in Colorado and it kind of just started to, you know, that started to just happened again, and we started talking a bunch and talked about, you know, just starting to play some bar gigs around the area again. And
yeah,
you know, it was just kind of building and very, you know, slowly and small for a long time. But you know, Trevor and I were talking, and then we hit up Ben and just started playing gigs in the area, and it was just kind of like a very slow and development from that time. Externally, as far as like playing shows and stuff goes, there was not a lot going on. But
right,
very shortly after that was the fall of 2014, and in like it was January or February of 2015. Yeah, so right after that, we went up and laid down the basic tracks for Moon Cabin. I'd kind of like, since that other band had broken up, I'd kind of been writing some songs and
yeah,
put them together. I had these ideas, so we went up and rented out a cabin in northern New Hampshire, like 15 miles or something from the Canadian border. And we were just up there for a couple weeks, and we laid down the basics and sat on them for a while. And then we kind of finished the record by the end of the year and put it out. And
that's like the most New England jam band origin story that I've ever heard. That's awesome, man. No, I mean, like in a good way, though. Yeah. In a good way, though.
Yeah. So, you know, we it was a long process of I was finishing up school, and we were kind of just, you know, we weren't hitting it hard. We were playing, I don't know, maybe one or two shows a month, something like that for a while. And it was just kind of like a long process of finding, you know, kind of learning about what the band wanted to be and what the right formula for you know, the people
trying to figure out your sound.
Yeah. It's just, you know, it's just a big learning process that we kind of went through over the past however many years that was. I don't know.
How many years has it been, though?
Well, since fall, I guess technically since fall of 2014, but like really soft fall of 2014.
Okay. Okay. All right.
It was very soft. Like, so really, when we started kind of getting after it was the start of 2017. We really accredit that to Matt Kalinske, who at that time signed on as our agent.
Nice.
He's the one responsible for really putting us out there, because we, you know, none of us were particularly inclined to, or we weren't very good at booking gigs, you know. Whereas some, like Peter with Great Blue, was doing like a really awesome job at getting themselves, you know, that band out there.
Mm-hmm.
And we just weren't, you know, naturally, you know, that didn't happen a ton.
We were
crushing O'Neill's, though, I'll tell you that.
Every time.
It's a fun bar.
It is. Yeah,
it's a fun bar.
Of fun, one of my favorite bars to get thrown out of.
Yeah. So yeah, Matt, we signed on with Matt around that time, and he just, you know, it was kind of a little bit of a slow start, but he got us out there throughout 2017, and We did a tour in that summer. That was the first time we were out for like more than a month. We actually call it the Throw 'em to the Wolves tour, because we were like, you know, we were so hungry at that point. That
yeah, but were, that is that's early for a full tour. What was the tour like? Where'd you guys go?
South in the dead of the summer.
Just going east. Yeah. Just going east.
We went
coast.
Florida.
Oh my god, yeah, the dead of the summer. Oh yeah, that's brutal,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
What van?
Oh yeah. I mean, like non-functioning AC probably, correctly, or
mildly,
at least mildly functioning. Yeah,
still
whatever.
In the window down air conditioning.
A lot
unit.
Of camping, you know, crap. A lot of like campsites and stuff. It was, you know, we were just hungry. We were
no,
like,
you got to be hungry to do that, man. Yeah. That's roughing it.
And you know, we came out with. It took a little bit to process, but we had a slightly different perspective after that. After the Throne of the Wolves tour, it was good. We needed to like go get our asses kicked a little bit, though,
sure.
to kind of figure out. That you know, just there's lots of lessons about being on the road and whatever.
Yeah,
there's a lot of little things. There's kind of like some bigger perspective things, but there's a lot of. I mean, one, we realized that it's not sustainable to do that. We can't go out for, you know, at that point of development, you can't go out for a month and like sustain yourself. Unless,
I assume you lost money on that.
Oh yeah,
of course.
Yeah, and like we had like one or two gigs.
Everybody does.
One or two gigs fell through, so that's why we were at the Raleigh Oaks for like a week.
Bummer.
Essentially, we had like a week
off. Yeah,
yeah. We're kind of just like, what are we doing out here? You know, playing
it's fun
volleyball.
Though, right?
Oh yeah.
So you said you were writing at this point, though. You guys, what did the set look like at this point in terms of a mix between like originals, covers, and stuff like that? What was
it? Was a lot more.
Doesn't even need to be song names, but just like just the makeup of it.
As far as the original stuff, it was probably much more focused on Moon Cabin stuff at that point.
Okay, Moon Cabin being the album that you guys have out that's on iTunes right now.
Right.
Okay. Cool.
That we tracked really early on.
So that was right, yeah, because the date on there says 2016.
Yeah.
So this is before you guys even really were starting to get after it.
Totally.
So this was just a result of a couple years of just writing, jamming, having fun. Hey, we got this thing. Let's go in there and let's just record it.
It was pretty much 2015 that album, like the course of 2015 was when that
was
album.
Like March 2015 is when we started. We got the basics down.
Yeah.
And then we finished it that fall.
So what was the first song that you guys wrote together? What was the first thing that you guys kind of...
The first song on the Moon Cabin is kind of like the song that I think of as the first song of the band. When the first time we got together, Ben, Trevor, and I, and Sticky...
Mm-hmm.
And
Sticky was on keyboards?
He was on guitar.
He was on guitar. Okay. Yeah, yeah. All right. Oh, okay. So it was two guitar, bass and drums at this point.
Exactly.
Okay.
So the first time we got together, we got together at Factory Underground, which is the studio.
In Norwalk. Absolutely.
Yeah. That's where we
love that place.
All our mixing and everything like that.
Sweet.
Kenny over there is our guy, and he actually came up to the cabin with us when we recorded Moon Cabin.
Nice.
Which was awesome.
You guys want to play that first track off there?
Yeah.
Nice. We'll All right. Yeah, let's do it.
Sitting here lost in my own head. But did it really have to go down this way? Or was there something clever that I could have said? You know the weather outside, well, it just ain't right. It's not that I'm just cloudy and blue. Well, things are gonna change, and I don't wanna see it rain on you.
Well, no, because you gotta understand. I thought the song was over like halfway through it.
It's really two songs.
I was over here like potting my mic back up. I'm gonna start talking to. And then you went into a whole other section of the tune.
It's really two songs.
No, but it's. That was cool. That was really cool.
There you go.
Way to just crack a beer can beautifully into the mic.
You're welcome.
That was really...
But it was timed perfectly.
I might, like, even save it for a soundbite. Like, that was really very well done.
You're welcome.
We got Hooch in here, by the way. I feel like I didn't introduce
Man,
you at
I
all.
Have, I have not heard that nickname since I saw Jen last.
Brian Salvia's in the house.
Jen Durkin gave me that name. You know that, right?
Did you really?
Yeah, Jen created that. My last name is Salvia. This was her mindset. My last name is Salvia. To her is fake weed, and fake booze is hooch, so it makes sense, because you can't call me fake weed, so we'll call you hooch. Her and Pete Francis came up with that. I have no idea.
That's powerful.
Yeah.
Pete Francis from Dispatch. We're just dropping names.
Yeah,
left
I'm just pulling the game
you
right
really
now.
You really did just casually throw that in. That was well done.
I've done radio before, John.
That's true. All right, so you've... Like, this is, I mean, you know, you guys have been able to get to a place that a lot of bands, you know, work very hard to get to. And, I mean, I think that's a testament to the fact that you guys are just extremely listenable. But also the fact that you just immediately threw yourselves to the wolves, to use your expression. You just went on the road right away. This is what it's about. Talk about that work ethic. How do you develop that work ethic together as a band? Because it's easy for one person... it's not easy for one person to develop a work ethic, but it's really difficult for, I feel like, a group to develop a band work ethic.
Well, it might be a good time to segue into, like, the other beginning of the band, which was really 2018 when Peter joined.
Because
that's when, like, we kind of, like, the work ethic and the, kind of role, things got dialed in, you know, he really just rounded out everything that we had going on. He kind of like filled in like a lot of gaps there were in what we were able to, like, you know, what our strengths were, I guess.
Are you talking about like sound wise or just
sound-wise,
or just
off the road too?
Yeah,
big time.
Well, because you guys had a keyboard player in between all of this, correct?
But finding the right formula, finding the right chemistry
it's not just about the music. It's not even just about on stage, but finding someone who gels with what you're trying to do off stage.
It's, you know,
if not more important.
I've kind of found that they're one and the same. You know,
you think so? Yeah,
absolutely. Music, I think, in its essence, like, music's just really reflection of what's going on around you in your life, in your head, and everything, you know?
Sure.
It's really, you know, in my experience, it's very much a reflection of that. There's
Definitely.
Nothing, like the most magical music I've ever experienced has come solely from playing with friends. You know what I mean?
Right.
I mean, as a fan, I noticed a difference at Goosemas at Kentucky. I think it was after you guys got off Spafford tour.
And I want to talk more about Goosemas in a second, but continue.
Just noticing, you know, looking around the room, I'm like, I know like 20% of the people here, whereas I used to go to Goosemas and I used to know everybody in that room. And it was just like, wow, this got big. I don't know where it came from, but it got big. And I attributed the Spafford tour. I mean, I think that was huge for you guys.
What's the, Brian, talk, what's the Spafford tour?
So they support, you guys supported Spafford for how many dates?
Seven shows.
Seven shows.
And that was right after they went came off of like.
For 5 minutes.
Yeah, and they came off of like hot.
I passed all that, you know, throw it to the wolves.
Yeah, Peter jumped in right to Spafford tour, basically.
Yeah,
it was wild. I mean, he was still learning. We were learning, working out the songs and stuff like that. We, you know, we rolled into the first show on that Spafford
tour. And
those
were big venues too.
Oh, they were crushing.
What were you playing?
Like, what do you mean?
Venues.
What kind of venues were you playing?
So
Westcott Theater.
They were like maybe 400 to 1,000 cap rooms. I'd say most of those rooms.
Good rooms, man.
But they were just slamming. I mean, they were. That was like they were so hot.
They were packed every time.
They were so hot.
That's crazy.
That band got hot after Peach Fest, which, by the way, you guys had the same spot that they did that year.
You're playing Peach
the
Fest.
The same line.
Oh,
yeah.
I love that festival. That's great.
Yeah, we're
dude.
Stoked for that.
I'd go, but I am otherwise indisposed.
Yeah.
My wife's pregnant. I can't go. But that's a great festival, man.
Yeah, I mean, so we're going through all these changes, you know. Peter just joined the band, and we got word that we got offered those dates opening for Spafford.
Yeah,
we're like, okay, like here we go, and we showed up for the first gig. Like usually, you know, up to that point where we expect opening slots, like. It's pretty quiet. Like we go on kind of early. It's pretty quiet. From
yeah, like halfway through your
set,
people start to show up. Yeah,
exactly.
Of course.
So we roll out to Detroit.
You stack the second half of the set and, you know, focus on the first half.
Exactly. So we roll out to Detroit, this place called L Club. It's like a maybe 400 or 500 cap room.
Sure.
And we're expecting that. We're expecting like a soft start to the set and like we're ready to throw down the heat at the end, right?
Yep.
And we walk out there and it is crammed to the gills with people just like, you know, the vibe was just like arms crossed.
So here's my question. Did you guys, how strict are you about writing a set list before you go out?
We write them and, you know, sometimes do them.
That was going to be my question. How many audibles got thrown as soon as you walk out and you see that crowd? You're just,
like,
oh wait, holy shit! Let's completely rearrange the beginning. You stuck to it.
We stuck to it that night.
You stuck to it.
Really. Many audibles because I didn't really know the song.
Get Peter on the mic a little bit because I can't really hear him.
Yeah.
At the time, I was like terrified of playing songs that I'm now
get in there, man.
Playing. You know what I'm talking about? Like Flow Down. Like I could not. I really just didn't want to play it, but.
Because you were new,
that's a very intricate song.
I mean, it was, and it's a Goose hit, so I had to play it.
And you were new with the band at this point.
Yes.
Plus, he had
hello.
Never played keyboards before. He was just wearing keyboards on Spafford tour, like an animal.
It was fun.
Yeah, dude.
And
sounds like fun.
You know, I've had some keyboard experience, but nothing. I've never played keyboards in front of an audience like that.
Okay.
It was pretty much just a brand new experience. And just to, like, go back on the Throats of the Wolves tour year in 2017, I just want to say that, you know, if it wasn't for that year, I definitely wouldn't have given Goose the amount of respect that I gave them at the time that I joined the band. Just, you know, they had been crushing it. I was, you know, I was jealous of that. And
yeah.
I was stoked to join the band and get out there and, you know, take some crazy chances in front of massive crowds.
Right on, dude. So what's the big cover that you guys are playing in your set right now?
I don't think there's, you know, necessarily one. We're loving the Electric Avenue right now. We're having,
okay.
We're having a lot of fun with that.
Can you guys play that for me right now?
We weren't planning on playing that right now.
What are you planning on playing?
We're planning on playing something right now that we've never actually played as a band live.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so much more interesting.
Cool.
All right, don't even say the name. Let's right. just get into it.
Cool. Sounds good.
All right, cool.
Thank you.
to find. There's winners and there's losers, and I'm south of the line. I'm tired of getting called out on the losing end. I talked to a man last night, gonna do a little favor for him.
Something you may not know about me, I fucking love Bruce Springsteen.
So, told you that in
thank you.
After you guys played it.
Yeah.
Other than that, Tribe set, it's the first time they played that.
Really?
We've never, yeah, Goose has never played that.
Yeah. That's killer.
It's a debut.
Thank you. Thank yeah. you for that. Yeah. That's awesome.
We like doing the acoustic thing.
Yeah, man. I mean, you guys do it well.
Acoustic.
Oh. Agoustic.
Oh, stop it. That works way too well.
Agoustic, flopener. It's a bunch of those.
Oh, wow.
We need to learn tube so we can start a set with a flopener tube.
Yes. First, last, or just tube?
Just tube.
Just tube.
Just tube. Holy crap, man.
That's so good. That's way too good.
All right, so you know, so you guys have an album out. It's on iTunes. You start really hustling, jumping on the road immediately, starting to get a decent amount of success there. You've got people coming to the shows. You had a great tour with opening for a very solid band that got you a lot of exposure. You've gotten to this point. Now you've got Peter on board in 2018. Mm-hmm. A guy who shares your vision not only musically but also career wise. Mm-hmm. Now what? What happens after that? Catch me back up.
Now we take over the world.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 2018.
But so like tell me about so I guess really what I'm asking is tell me about 2019. So far.
Love that.
So far.
Yeah.
Love that.
2019 has been amazing.
A little closer.
2019 has been amazing. Started off with us hitting the studio.
So there is new material coming out.
Oh yeah. Yeah, sweet. Yeah. Very soon.
Now that was when you were in Colorado, right?
Well, we recorded some tracks around in the Connecticut area in January before we did a Colorado tour, and we recorded a track out there as well.
Okay.
That was really fun. It was a really cool experience to be out on the road and just have a couple days off and hit the studio instead of, like, just kind of hang out and, you know, just do extraneous activities. It was great to just be
yeah,
really,
that sounds be, terrible.
Be really productive, you know, in the...
In Colorado, get the best vegan tacos you've ever had.
Yeah, well, that's where Chipotle started. We love Chipotle.
Chipotle
started. The name Goose came from Colorado. Colorado's got a lot of roots in the band.
Wait, hold on, time out. I can't believe I didn't ask this yet. Where did the name Goose come from?
You got this.
Yep.
Actually, Colorado tacos.
Really?
Yeah. Yes.
Were they Goose tacos?
That's why I made that joke.
Were they Goose tacos?
No. Well.
Like goose meat?
Yeah. No. Not technically. Goose meat. No.
Okay.
I was working at this like really small but awesome taco joint in Fort Collins, Colorado, when I was living out there. And it was just a thing that was said a lot in the kitchen. You know, it was a very small kitchen. And a lot of funny people worked sure. there and came through there. And it was just this thing that people said or, you know.
What Goose was?
Yeah, Goose, like in like a kind of Smurf kind of way.
Oh.
You know, like we just, you know, called each other Goose and, you know, called tacos Goose and, like, you know, carne asada to Goose. You know, it was just a, it was a thing that was said a lot, and I thought it was just a funny word.
Okay.
And we, you know, didn't, came back, started playing gigs, and it was like Goose, calling it Goose, and wasn't, it wasn't, did not see, foresee, like, 5 years later, however, whatever, however long, being like, you know, out here, like, yep, we're Goose.
It's funny. All right, so there's a new, so there's new material being recorded right now.
Definitely.
What about, what was the process for writing the new material for what you're recording right now?
Well,
handing it off to Peter instead of Rick. Okay,
I've written a couple songs since joining the band.
Okay,
so I, you know, getting involved in that process has been really fun, and especially the new material coming out. I, you know, proud to say that I've got a couple songs coming out in this band, which is really cool for me.
Was there, not to drive a wedge, but was there any ego there? Like, just in terms of just,
no,
like, you know, someone's coming in and, like, you know, I'm kind of like sharing the songwriter burden a little bit.
Thought it was great.
Loved
it. Beautiful. Any tunes are tight.
Right on.
Well, I mean,
right,
I love Doc Brown, and that's one of your tunes that you guys play. That's a great blue tune that you guys do now.
Yeah.
Now, this is a new song that isn't, you know,
no,
off a movie.
This was a great blue song that you guys brought into Goose.
Right.
Eventually.
We've had a couple. We have a couple of those that were just older tunes of mine.
Okay.
And, that I also, you know, wrote with my old bandmates.
I was going to say, were these great blue tunes?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, a couple of them. A couple of them are not. A couple of them were just written by myself. And
so, can you guys play me something that's coming up on this record? Something that you guys have,
yeah, we,
you know,
that,
prepared?
Yeah.
You got some?
Yeah.
All right, sweet.
Ready?
Yep.
Thank you.
elevator. I'm not a waiter, so see you later, alligator. The elevator. I'm not a waiter, so see you later, alligator.
Okay, see, like that's a whole different ball game from what I heard off of the first record.
So yeah. So I gotta ask, and I've been listening to you guys forever, and I love that song because I'm a huge Phish fan, and that has that element to it with those almost nonsensical lyrics to it. Where the fuck did that come from?
Well, yeah. Also, I mean, hold on, but like just to follow off the Phish vibe, but not even just the lyrically, but also just those harmonized arpeggios, yeah. Like that whole line is very. I don't want to. I mean, I feel bad like comparing it to Phish.
Yeah,
but
it's
original,
know,
so. And it's cool, and it's a sick line. But it did bring me back to that in terms
but
of
where do those lyrics come from? Like the not a waiter, alligator. Yeah. Where the hell does that stem from?
So it was a post breakup tune. It was a breakup that I wasn't entirely sure was the right move. I had been dating somebody for 3 years.
You ended it.
I ended it.
Right.
So there was a lot of like.
Someone said
this,
that's not what
was
I heard.
This the right idea. Kind of at the time, I was pretty emotionally like all over the place. Mm. I ended up writing a bunch of music. It was a really like inspirational time. This one, the riff is just like a guitar exercise that I learned in college, it just kind of sounded like, you know, the ups and downs, the elevator thing.
It just made sense in the moment. You're like,
yeah.
Oh, these words rhyme.
Yeah, and then
works.
It was like, see you later, alligator. You know, like you just feel like that was, you know, it's from a very...
Say goodbye to that relationship.
Yeah,
see you later.
It's just a funny, like, childish way to say goodbye. I mean,
no, but it's, yeah. It,
I like it, yeah. All right.
Yeah, but...
It's a funny, goofy way to treat a very deep, difficult topic.
Right.
Sure.
And by doing so, and I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but I feel like almost by doing so, you kind of, by allowing yourself to not trivialize it is the wrong word, but by allowing yourself to laugh at it. Yeah. You kind of take a little bit of the drama off of what you've been feeling. You're able to like look at it objectively.
That's a great, you know, it's a great insight right there. Cause it was definitely a crazy time for me at, you know, those couple months. So
right.
Like, you know, I was looking for any kind of happiness or, you know, joy, and writing music is what brings me that the most. So this song in particular was really fun to write at the time. And
it's such a like upbeat major scale kind of tune to like write about a breakup, but I love it though.
Yeah, really.
Yeah.
From an outside perspective, as far as like, you know, lyrically, it's very much, you know, there's probably a large reason it resonates with people the way it does because it's very sincere. Like I hear a lot of, you know, Peter, it's like a lot of the lyrical perspective. Like there's uncertainty. There's a lot of like it's changing, but at the same time, it's like really confident and like relaxed. Like he's sitting back and drinking green tea, and he's like, "Yeah, like peace out," you know.
Yeah,
it's kind of it makes a lot of sense. It's pretty a pretty honest song, I think.
So all right, man. I mean, I like to kind of end these things with just talking about what's next for the band. And this can be, I mean, for you guys, you know, plugs are great and everything like that. But just in terms of what are the goals? What's the goal?
Well, you know, personally, like I was saying, we're focusing a lot on like what's happening on the road, live, and we're doing a ton of recording. And like we're kind of, you know, in a sense, playing catch up with recording with all the stuff that we've been moving. The live thing catalog has just been like kind of developing and moving.
Right.
And the recording has been like a bit of an afterthought. So we're focusing on that, and that is not leaving any time. Hasn't been leaving any time for writing in a while. So I'm very much looking once this phase of, you know, once we get out what we've been working on for a bit now, and still have a, you know, decent good amount of work to do left. On it, I can't wait to get back to just a phase of writing.
Sure. Is writing a private thing for you, or is it something, or for you, Pete? I mean, you know, also writing songs, is that a private experience, or is that something that really happens in a practice setting, like, you know, with the guys, or is it both?
Writing can be all of it. You know, I think it kind of should be all of it. You know, you can really, yeah. There's no rules. There's no, like, you know, putting a limit on how you write, I think is, you know, shooting yourself in the foot.
Sure.
That being said, I'm like definitely fairly introverted and gain the most energy when I do spend time alone. So like traditionally, you know, historically, when I've written the most has been when I've been alone for time
off the road, you know, outside of the constant grind is when you're typically speaking, not all the time, but going to feel the muse a little bit more.
That's when I get most inspired, I'd say.
Yeah, I mean, I could definitely agree with that. Having a lot of like responsibility off the road also takes away like a lot of just random free time that you may just happen upon a song and are able to just focus entirely upon it.
Sure.
That is something that I definitely need the free time as well. You know, we've actually had, we've had like 2 weeks off here, kind of, and off is not really off because there's so many other things that are happening on the back end, but even this past weekend, I was able to just start, you know, I was able to like write down some ideas for music and come up with some things that, you know, I hadn't, just, you don't have time for it sometimes. So that was nice to do. And having the free time is critical. And then, you know, always writing with the band is really fun. You know, I used to do a lot of that. Great Blue was a lot of that for sure.
Yeah.
The other guys, you know, we'd always just have jam sessions that would end up being songs. And, you know, it was almost a different kind of band though, because we didn't play as many shows. We didn't have as much going on. You know, at Goose Practice, we do jam and we have, you know, improvisational, like, time, basically. But a lot of the time we need to be preparing newer material or covers or working on things, you know, for this weekend. You know, it's just, everything feels like it's very immediate.
Yeah.
So, you know, having more time off in that circumstance.
You feel like you're always just preparing for the next gig.
There's a lot of that. Yeah.
It's hard. I 100% know what you're talking about. It's hard to write in that environment when you're just making sure you're ready for the next thing that you're going to go do. Yeah. Absolutely.
Right. So once we have just more extended free time, we can be able to just get together and prep and, you know, just jam and maybe have some of that happen.
So how do you, how do you create that free time? Because obviously get time away from, and that really is it just from your face alone right there, Rick. I mean, that's the ultimate paradox.
It's not getting any easier.
No, it never does, because time away from playing is time away from money. Let's face it. You gotta make money. So, I mean, if you're taking time off from, you know, touring and from going or even just playing locally, you know, that's money out of your pockets. But the paradox there is that you have to take that time to sort of focus on, you know, what do you want to do next, not just what we need to do now.
It's definitely an investment.
It's want and next versus need and now. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's really well put.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Really well put. It's very, very relevant at this time.
Yeah, I'd say it's a huge investment.
I don't mean to light a fire under you.
No. You hit the nail on the head there.
Taking the time off is a huge investment for the future shows, future touring.
Yeah.
You know, having new material and being, you know, having that time to create is going to make everything in the future that much better.
So it's just kind of a leap of faith. You're just like, you know, listen, we need to do this now so that later we can, you know,
just to be sustainable, I think.
Yeah,
is a big part of it as well. Yeah. You know, we got to have lives off the road and in order to make the road fun. So, you know.
Well, and what about, I mean, hold on. I feel like I'm neglecting the rhythm section here completely. Yeah. Like
quiet.
I know you are. But like, you know, Ben and Trevor, like what's your input and perspective on this, and just in terms of, you know, sacrificing a little bit of playing time and money making time in terms of the future, the potential of the future growth of the band. What's your thoughts on that? I guess.
I mean, right now it's not even as black as white as when we're gigging, we're making money, and when we're not.
Yeah.
You know, we're not a lot of like, especially like the last few weeks, we've had more traction than anything, but we haven't come back with anything on the road just from expenses. So it's a tough thing to balance for sure. It's, you know, it's getting better, but it's definitely a grind for sure.
Right.
We're really just you know, changing with the leaves.
You stole Trevor's line, man.
Hold on, though. Hold on. Because I
let
think...
Let Tweek sing, man.
I think... So, all right. So, I want to end this on a song, because I've just enjoyed the hell out of the music that you guys have played so far. So, I mean, I'll leave it to you for the last song. I mean, if you have a traditional closer that you guys feel like you'd want to do acoustic, go for it. Or just, I mean, really, whatever. I mean, what's the last thing you'd want someone listening to this right now to hear?
Trev, why don't you get ready for your song, right?
What's that?
we're gonna play Arcadia. Yeah.
All right, it's gonna be Arcadia. Now wait, so you guys are gonna play Arcadia. Now wait a minute, Trev. I did want to ask you though.
Take your shirt off,
Trev. I did want to ask you. You haven't said a lot tonight. Is there anything that you'd like to contribute?
Yeah, it's all relative.
Dig.
Stumble every time you do it, ain't never gonna get used to it. Hanging on a garden rope, sun tame the way that my love grows. Oh Lord, I didn't see it coming. Arcadia's got me running. Just trying not to lose my breath. That's how I'm gonna take that step. And though my pride is going back down the line, I'm just. Cool. time you do it. Ain't never gonna get used to it. Hanging on a garden rubble. It's untamed the way that my love grows. Oh Lord, I didn't see it coming. Arcadia's got me running. Just trying not to lose my breath. I'm just